The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Carla Howell. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Carla Howell.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvind Vora, representative at large to the Libertarian National Committee, guest hosting for Carla Howell. Harry Brown, the 1996 and 2000 Libertarian candidate for president, once said, "I'm for a flat tax, as long as the flat rate is zero. The object is to get rid of big government, not find a new way of financing it." Today, many Libertarian candidates have said, quite frankly, that they don't want the government to do more with less. They want the government to do less. Less militarism, less interference with personal lives, and less waste. Many federal candidates have signed a pledge to eliminate the federal income tax. You can learn more about these candidates at lp.org or at facebook.com/libertarians. Our two guests today have pledged to eliminate the income tax in their respective states. On the second half of the show, we'll talk to Frank Gilbert, candidate for governor of Arkansas. But first, we'll talk with Jeremy Walters, candidate for South Carolina House of Representatives, District 26. Jeremy Walters is the vice chairman of the South Carolina Libertarian Party. In his 2012 race for South Carolina House of Representatives, he took 47.1% of the vote, although he was outspent 10-1. He is running again for South Carolina's House of Representatives in District 26. When elected, his primary goal is to eliminate the South Carolina income tax. Jeremy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell us about this campaign. I mean, what kind of reaction have you gotten when you tell people that you're actually going to try to eliminate the South Carolina income tax?
The first reaction you can always tell your opposition is, you know, well, how will we pay for anything? But I spend most of my time, you know, I'm a residential carpenter. I spend most of my time with the working man. And when you tell him that you want to try to eliminate the income tax so that he can have more money at the end of the week, it's a very positive response. And they wish me luck and ask me to please make sure I get that done.
Now, what, you know, you've talked a lot about the, you know, working people. What are some benefits that the average voter, the average South Carolina citizen, what are some of the benefits that he or she will see from eliminating the income tax?
Well, it's very simple. You'll have more money at the end of the week and at the end of the month and at the end of the year. Instead of the money being taken out of their paycheck, it's still there. And it'll, what I think it'll do is everybody will have more money to spend.
And what do you think that's going to do in terms of, you know, economic growth in South Carolina?
Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, anytime I have money in my pocket, I spend it. I go out to dinner. I go to the movies. I take the kids to the amusement park, you know. And if I don't have the money, then we don't go, you know. So
sure.
I think it'll boost our economy to the point where, you know, we have to do something. The economy fell apart in 2008, and I think that a lot of people don't realize really what happened. You know, there's a lot of people who have never recovered from that crash, and that we need to do something here in South Carolina and the rest of the country, for that matter, for the people to put more money in their pockets so that they can get back to spending and boost our economy on a local level. I believe it's all about, you know, your town that you live in. Sure, we're the United States of America, but you spend most of your time during the day in your hometown. You know? So I would like people to spend money on my business, too. you know, that would be great.
Absolutely. You know, as a small business owner myself, the number one thing that helps my business is when people have more money to spend. And I know that that means I can give higher quality services. That means I can provide more options, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I completely understand where you're coming from over there. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other benefits. I mean, one major issue that's facing many states right now is education. Do you see, or what do you think is going to happen in terms of education if people have more money to spend?
I think, I mean, it's a funny thing about education here in South Carolina is there's a big uproar about the Common Core, and mm-hmm. what they want to do in South Carolina is make it so that you have school choice. And I mm-hmm. think if people have more money to spend when it comes to education, that they will pull their children out of the public mm-hmm. school system and begin to put them into private school systems, which in my mm-hmm. opinion, for some people, you know, they would put their children in private schools, but they don't have the money.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, when you're really talking about education, there's that saying that, you know, just like there's no one perfect restaurant for everybody, there's no one perfect school system for everybody. And I think you're absolutely right over there, that giving people the ability to choose the kind of education that they want for their kids because they have the money to buy the kind of education that they want is exactly what, you know, South Carolina and, for that matter, America needs in order to really be competitive in our global economy.
Yeah.
What about the spending side? I mean, we talk about cutting taxes, and of course, cutting taxes is always popular. Right. What about spending? What are some areas in which we could actually cut spending in South Carolina?
You know, when I talk about the income tax, you know, it's all we do is talk about money. And what I've been saying to people lately is, I believe, from what I understand, and I'm by no means an accountant, but from what I understand in the state of South Carolina, if we hired independent forensic accountants and went through our books in the state of South Carolina, we will mm-hmm. see that the spending is ridiculous. That they spend so much money. We have plenty of money. And the next thing you know, our representatives turn around and say, well, we have to raise our gas tax because we have too many potholes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do anything. I don't know the exact numbers of what's in my state. But from what I witnessed, we can cut out some ridiculous spending at first. And what I want to push for, and when I get backed into a corner about it, is I say, well, the first thing that we can do is release all the parents that are in jail for non-payment of child support. Their constitutional rights have been violated because they've been denied a trial by jury. It costs mm-hmm. an average of $40,000 per year to house these inmates. We can begin with that. And if you want to fix a pothole with that money, release one person. There's 40 grand. Go fix it. You know?
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when it's really interesting, the technique that you often see state governments especially use is that they make such a big deal about the roads and they spend like a tiny fraction, like less than a percent on the roads, and kind of hold that one thing that people actually use hostage to all their other ridiculous projects and just things that don't make any sense. What are some other areas in which, you know, what's always interesting to me is areas in which the state spending is not just wasteful, but actually actively harmful. What are some of the other ways?
Let's give an example of my opponent mm-hmm. In this House race, Ray Felder. She was working on a bill. She's an insurance agent for 30 years. She's mm-hmm. working on a bill to make it so that people who ride mopeds have to have insurance. And she claims that they haven't gotten to the bicycles yet. Now, if this passes into law, what this is doing is hurting. What are you going to make my child go get insurance on his bicycle? Now he has to get a job too? You know, it's stuff like that, to where legislators are making laws that accommodate them and their industry.
Yeah, you know, I actually used to work as an insurance actuary, and the whole reason that people require car insurance, not to say that I agree with this because I certainly don't, but the only reason that people require car insurance is because you can do damage to somebody else's property with a car.
Right.
I mean, what is a kid on a tricycle?
What's little Johnny going to do? He damaged your fender with his helmet or something? I don't understand. You know, it's stuff like that, just put plain and simple. It's, I get informed that I just broke a law that I didn't even know was a law. I research the law and find out that big insurance is making money off of this law.
Exactly.
Why do I need that? You know, I mean, It's ridiculous. It seems like our lives are all about big government making money off of us. You know, and it,
you alluded briefly to some of the just kind of counterproductive incarceration that's going on. Is there things that can be done at the state level in South Carolina to cut spending by reducing or eliminating, for that matter, prosecution of victimless crimes?
Yes, and I would like to get into that. I did not attack it much in my first campaign because of the conservatives that live in my area, but at this point, I don't care anymore. Another thing that we can do to save money is release every person in the state of South Carolina for nonviolent drug crimes. It's not a war on drugs. It's a war on the American people. People are going to do what they want to do, and you're not going to stop them. Let's take marijuana, for example. If South Carolina made marijuana legal and released all the people in prison that was not a violent criminal that just got caught with some marijuana, how much money would that send back that we wouldn't have to pay the prisons to house these people over nothing? Nothing. Other states have already made it legal. We can make it legal, too.
I think that I think going to be something that a lot of people are going to respond to. I mean,
young and old.
I think one of the things that's so profound to people is when they realize that thus far we have not even as a country successfully managed to keep drugs out of prisons.
No.
Let alone anywhere else. Forget the street, but prison. Take away everybody's rights. We put them in cages. We, restrict every waking moment and every sleeping moment, and we still can't keep the drugs out of there. So, I mean, what is the possible purpose of trying to do any of these things?
I've never seen it with my own eyes, but I've seen pictures of American troops guarding poppy fields in Afghanistan. Now, I don't know if it's true, and someday if I ever get a plane ticket to Afghanistan, I got to check it out for myself, because that's just the pot calling the kettle black. We got to arrest you for drugs, but we're guarding it over here, I don't get that,
Yeah, I mean, when we see, just how much the, for example, prison unions and prison labor, prison guard unions and alcohol lobbies putting into that war, it's pretty clear that there's a lot of money talking over here. Anyway, we're talking with Jeremy Walters, candidate for South Carolina House of Representatives in District 26. He aims to eliminate the income tax in South Carolina. You can learn more about him at waltersforhouse.com. Be sure to visit lp.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. And please join the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. You can choose to get active, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways you can get involved. Help us eliminate the income tax and downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
I'm your host for today, Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Jeremy Walters, candidate for South Carolina House of Representatives in District 26. He has pledged to sponsor legislation to eliminate the income tax in South Carolina. You can connect with him at waltersforhouse.com. Jeremy, when you talk about eliminating the income tax, you're talking about eliminating a lot of special privileges, special favors, and just downright monetary gifts to a lot of politically connected people. And when you do that, it's safe to say that they're going to try to come after you. You have been fairly successful recently in court and actually preventing their strategies from shutting you down in case you do, or when you do, win this election. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
What I've learned in this business is anytime that you step outside of the box and say that you want something different up against the legislator, you're going to get huge opposition, and there's not really much you can do about it. What we did this go-around was file a lawsuit that went to the South Carolina Supreme Court on April 24th of 2014. Mm-hmm. And the state of South Carolina made a law, and then the Election Commission denied us what was in the law and said that they wouldn't give us a primary. They made a law that said we had to have a primary of the third parties. And then the Election Commission said that they're not giving us a primary because they couldn't afford it.
And so they literally passed a law that said you had to have a primary and then refused to let you have a primary.
Yeah, so it was like a catch-22. It left me, you know, I took 47.1% of the vote in the last election. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't have any money and almost won. So at one point, I began to take it very personally, you know, this law that they made. And we ended up taking it to the South Carolina Supreme Court, and they ruled that the third parties do not have to have a primary. They can nominate by convention like they always did. It was the most amazing thing I ever witnessed with my own eyes that, you know, the state would make a law like that and then deny us. So where does that leave us when we win an election?
In the last election, you lost by a pretty slim margin. Do you remember what the margin was?
I lost by 2.9%. There's several reports. One's 539 votes. The other one's 543 votes or something like that. I think it's under 600 votes.
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, a pretty small number of votes. I mean, this really kind of drives home just why it is so vital to get out and vote for libertarian candidates. I mean, that's such a tiny margin. You know, this time, hopefully, we'll be able to actually win it. And there's so many other races around the country that are going to be decided by these tiny margins in which we're actually going to be able to break that two-party dictatorship in America in critical and key areas. So what's the next phase? So you took this to the Supreme Court. They basically said that you can continue to do what you've always done, and that means if you get elected, you're actually going to stay elected.
Right, exactly what that means. I get to, if I have a lawsuit filed against me on November 5th after the election, I get to hold up my state Supreme Court order that says, oh, no, I get to nominate by convention, and I didn't violate any laws, and if you'd like to, take it up with the Supreme Court and just walk away, you know?
Absolutely.
So I wanted to make sure I got that arranged, and in a 6-week period right before, we did it. We actually got it done, and I consider it a major victory.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is an absolutely a major victory. And, you know, I've seen some of the write-ups. I even saw a write-up by a Republican talking about just, you know, how impressive and effective your strategy was over there. So, I mean, if they're saying it's good, it's got to be good.
Yeah, it worked.
what we're really talking about over here is kind of taking away a lot of these special privileges of people who don't really need them and haven't really earned them. And we're talking about really cutting government in a very profound way. Let's talk a little bit more about some of those cuts. I mean, we've talked about, you know, sort of basically eliminating all the incarceration of people who are committing these victimless drug crimes. What are some other areas that we can think about cutting in South Carolina in ways that are actually improve people's lives?
I'll give an example of one thing that happened this past year. Was there was a surplus in our budget. The schools didn't have enough money, but the state of South Carolina general fund had $68 million. So the House of Representatives decided that they were going to buy new furniture for their building. This is like a bad dream you can't scream. Most people don't know that story. They're not watching it closely to see where the money's going. But why do you have to buy $4 million worth of furniture? I'm a carpenter myself. I would have fixed it. You know, let's get some screws out, you know, and stand it up. You don't need to be sitting around all day anyway, you know. So it's stuff like that where we got to go through the books and understand what's happened recently, which a lot of people don't know in South Carolina, is that two counties, Charleston County and Florence County, have secured almost $1 billion from the State Infrastructures Fund for a project that's not going to take place until 2020. Do you know how much the rest of the counties got to fix their roads? Absolutely nothing, and all of our representatives are talking about raising our gas tax. Yeah, it's the most. This whole thing's like a bad dream that you can't scream. If you're not involved very closely to it, you would never know it, you know? And most voters don't know it. And that's the kind of representative that I want to be, is to point out to the voter almost on a daily basis, whether we have to have a radio show or however we got to get the word out, that, hey, here's what's happening today. They're spending another $4 million on chairs.
The kids don't
have enough, you know, things at school that they need, and teachers are underpaid and everything else, but we got new chairs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back to that usual tactic of holding hostage the few things that people actually want while endlessly funding, you know, the special interests, or in this case, just their own personal special interests. You know,
their own county. In this particular case, where I'm talking about almost $1 billion, that's going to be stuck to our children later on, paying it back. It's not a tax. It's borrowed from the general fund, or it's borrowed from the infrastructure bank. You know, it's stuff like that that needs to be curbed and stopped. And it almost seems, as a layman, there's no way to stop it in the state of South Carolina except to join them and become a member of the House of Representatives and be the voice that says, you shouldn't do that. Why would you do that to the next generation?
Absolutely. Well, now you get elected, your first day. What is your first action? How long would it take? You know, let's get some official quotes over here. How long will it take you to introduce legislation to eliminate the income tax?
Okay, there is a bill that is in the South Carolina House that to eliminate the income tax. I haven't checked it in the past couple days, and the legislative session is about to stop, so that bill may have died, but it was in there, so that will be. The first thing is to gain support of both Republican and Democrat in the state house and say, look, I'm putting this bill down, and I'm going to ask them straight up, like, can you for once in your entire career of being a representative actually do something for the people? Call up your constituents and say, I'm going to lobby in your behalf to save you money every month so that you have more money, so that you're a more happy, prosperous person. You know, that's what I'm going to challenge the representatives, all 176 of them, is to do something for the people for once. I've been involved in politics since 2010 in South Carolina, and I've never once gotten a phone call that said, hey, Jeremy, we passed a bill that's going to do something for all of us. You know, instead of just naming a bridge after themselves or whatever, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a powerful thing to drive home. I mean, it's always this sort of unequally sliced pie where,
right?
If you look at it, like, technically, everybody gets, there's some tiny thing that theoretically benefits everybody in government. I mean, there's something that in theory you could say is a benefit, right. But if you compare it to the astronomical amounts that you pay, it's a humongous net loss.
Right.
I mean, and that's, right. And I think that's the message that so many people haven't understood. They're like, well, you know, I'm getting this thing that's worth, I don't know, $2 a month from the government. If we stopped that, I wouldn't get that. And you're like, well, sure, but you'd be able to keep the extra. I mean, what is the amount per person in South Carolina?
It's almost $3,000 the last time I checked. I mean, I'm not an accountant, but I mean, we can put the money on it, you know, and say, you know, each person gets, you know, almost $3,000 back. I mean, if you handed me $3,000, I'm going to hug you.
You're talking about three. So you're saying that in South Carolina, that every family would essentially
get... Yeah, I think it's like $2,700 is the closest number that we checked the last time, and I could be a little bit off. But my whole point is getting this bill in to eliminate the income tax is to divide and conquer the legislature. Mm-hmm. And it's a tricky bill. You're going to find out who's who. You're going to find out who really cares about the people that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian, whoever you are, if you don't vote yes for that, that means that you just don't really honestly care about us, we the people of the state of South Carolina, you know, and begin to bicker back and forth and then go for other bills that are not only liberty-minded but do other things for the people. We don't need to make any more new laws in the state of South Carolina. We need to spend time repealing them.
Exactly.
I think anyway, you know, I don't want to get called up and tell me there's another new law that's going to cost me more money. You know?
Exactly. I mean, how amazing would it be if, you know, this time next year we're talking about the fact that bill is passed, that people in South Carolina, now every single family has an additional $2,700 that they can spend on something useful,
right.
Instead of having it held hostage to some bizarre government program or you know, some special interest that has nothing to do with their own benefit.
They don't even know where it goes. I don't even know where it goes. You know? Go somewhere, though. New furniture, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, that I think is profound. Jeremy, I really want to first thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Jeremy Walters, candidate for South Carolina House of Representatives in District 26. He has pledged to eliminate the income tax in South Carolina, and that would save each family an average of about $2,700 a year. That's money that can go to support education, support businesses, support the arts, support charity, improve the lives of people in South Carolina. You can connect with Jeremy Walters at waltersforhouse.com. He is one of the hundreds of libertarian candidates who will be on the ballot this year in America who are working for you to make you more free, to eliminate the income tax, to improve the economy, create jobs, and benefit arts, charity, and education. Learn more about the Libertarian Party at lp.org, and please join the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. Help us eliminate the income tax and downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In today's society, there is just too much competition. Women are taking on the same roles as men. They're working side by side, competing for the same positions. What is happening? This is transferring to how men and women feel about each other and relationships. We're delaying marriages or not even getting married at all. It's time to go back to basics. Listen for this groundbreaking show with host Naftali Schwartz. But it's not really that groundbreaking. It's just a new way of looking at things. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your team. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You, where we feature libertarian candidates working to make your life better by downsizing big government and expanding your freedom. I'm Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. For the second half of our show, we'll bring on Frank Gilbert, candidate for governor of Arkansas. Frank currently serves as the constable of DeKalb Township in Grant County. He also served as the mayor of Tull, Arkansas for 8 years. He intends to eliminate the income tax in Arkansas. You can learn more about him at electfrankgilbert.com. Frank, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, the idea of eliminating the income tax for so many people is in many ways so foreign, but what are some of the benefits that they would see? What are some of the benefits that people see in Arkansas if you do eliminate the income tax?
Well, you know, obviously the first and possibly the biggest for most folks would be they get a pay raise. You don't have to increase the minimum wage. You don't have to do anything that would cost jobs the way the minimum wage would. You just get a pay raise because they don't take the money away from you.
Absolutely.
It would also have a positive. Go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what kind of pay raise are we talking about?
You know, it's probably not as big as the young man from South Carolina was talking about. Arkansas does not have as high wage or income statistics as South Carolina does. However, we have a higher income tax, so it's probably in the neighborhood for the average Arkansan of about $2,000 a year.
Wow. So we're saying that the average Arkansan working is going to get basically a $2,000 a year raise.
Exactly.
That's no small amount of money. What are some of the benefits that you're going to see in terms of economic growth? I mean, do you think that that's going to be an amount that's going to affect economic growth in Arkansas?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We can already see the effect that our high income tax has on us within our region here. Every state around us has either a lower income tax, or in the cases of Tennessee and Texas, have no income tax at all. And business, when they choose a place to locate, you know, Texas doesn't look any better than Arkansas on a balance sheet, except for our tax structure. With one of the positive side effects of having a high income tax is that folks like Mike Huckabee, who served as governor here for several years and then went into national politics, bought a new home in Florida. He's moved out of the state to get away from our income tax that he helped increase while he was here.
Well, at least it's doing that. But hopefully, if we can eliminate it, then we can actually have the reverse effect and have some, you know, great entrepreneurs and businesses want to either move to Arkansas or just not leave Arkansas when they're already there. I mean, that you know, young man or woman who's coming up with some new business idea that could create so many jobs, who's already in Arkansas, let's have them stay there and let's have them actually, you know, build up the economy over there and kind of help out creating jobs. What are some of the other benefits that people might see from ending the income tax?
You know, obviously, it makes it a better business climate altogether. One ancillary effect would be that, you know, to make to adjust for the cuts in state income, one of the first things we'd want to look at is 55 state boards and commissions that regulate all too many different phases of our economic life. spend on those boards about $50, $60 million a year.
Wow.
And one of the first places we could cut is there. You know, the acupuncture board is probably, its disappearance probably isn't going to affect most Arkansans, even those that use acupuncture.
Exactly.
And if we can get those kind of folks out of the way, then entrepreneurs will not only have an economic incentive to come to Arkansas, but they'll have a regulatory incentive to come here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, if you can start a business quickly instead of having to go through all kinds of hoops and hurdles, I mean, why not attract? I mean, if people in Arkansas, if there's a few people in Arkansas who are getting benefits from acupuncture, why not attract the best acupuncturists from just not even around the country, but around the world, who can come to a place where they can do business, where they can grow their business because other people have money, other people are building their businesses and really benefiting everybody in all these different ways. Now, when we talk about eliminating the income tax, you know, there's that pay raise, and that's a huge attractive benefit. But there's often another benefit that people that you've already alluded to, which is that you can actually cut spending, and a lot of the spending that you can cut is actually not just for things that we don't want, but things that we actively don't want, things that actually get in the way of our lives. Now, what are some of those areas where we could actually improve lives by eliminating government spending?
You know, I think one of the prime examples here in Arkansas, and something tells me in every state in the nation, as well as the federal level, our environmental quality department has become not only a little negative, it has become almost a tyranny unto itself. As a mayor, I dealt with environmental quality folks on several issues where local citizens had a concern or a complaint, and the folks were totally useless. I mean, where you had a problem and needed help, but they couldn't do anything. But they are more than willing to get involved in things that really aren't doing much to the environmental quality of the state, but it has more of a direct economic impact. Like a lot of states and the national government, I think environmental quality has become a catchphrase and an excuse for the statists to involve themselves in areas that they couldn't under any other circumstance.
You know, exactly. I mean, obviously environmental protection is popular because we want to have a safe environment, but there's so many private sector and more effective ways of protecting and helping the environment. And so essentially what you're saying is under these flimsy excuses, they're using whatever excuse they can to interfere with, you know, their economic opponents or just interfere in general economically. I mean, that's definitely an area where I think we could probably do without too much of that. What about let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've mentioned other places that you think that the war on drugs has gone way too far, and that you'd be working on finding ways to scale that back. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, you know, I'm a latecomer to that issue. It was hard with me and my Southern Baptist background to get to the point where I could finally figure out that, you know, I'm not responsible for what other people do in the privacy of their living rooms and kitchens. And it becomes much easier, even for Southern Baptists like me, to come to the recognition that we not only don't need to do that, heck, we can't afford to. The state of Arkansas's budget is strapped, like everybody's is. And yet they found at this last session of the legislature enough money to increase by 300 beds the state's prison population. And it was one of only two or three areas where they were able to eke out an increase, but we can always find a place to put somebody and incarcerate them, it seems. And what that does, obviously, is not only have an economic impact, it has a personal and a social impact. You know, every one of those people that are in prison for simple drug violations are separated from their children, their parents, their spouses, and it's not only an economic drain, it's a personal drain on families all over the state, and more every year.
Well, I mean that makes, I think, a lot of sense to a lot of people. You know, we've seen so many people, you know, coming who were actually staunch proponents of the drug war just a few years ago, have really started to see just how ineffective it is, how expensive it is, you know, how many lives it's destroying, how unequally it's been enforced, and really, now if you're elected governor, what are some things that you can do to do something about the drug war?
You know, the state of Arkansas has a very weak executive. After the Civil War, we didn't trust each other very much. So the governor doesn't have even his, the power of veto is very limited here, because you can override a veto with a simple majority. But there are certain things that the governor can do, and one is to do pardons. I have said that the first day in office, I would begin the process of pardoning every person in Arkansas prisons who's there for nonviolent drug offenses. And frankly, even some of the so-called violent offenders, I think we should take a second look at, because so often someone who's caught with pot or some other drug, if they run or if they try to pull away from a police officer, they're charged with a felony resisting as well. So I think each one of those cases needs to be looked at and make sure that it, you know, if there was violence involved, that it was real violence and not that kind of thing.
Now, that's really interesting. So what you're saying is even though the governor doesn't have a tremendous amount of power in terms of veto, in Arkansas, you could still actually essentially single-handedly end the war on drugs in Arkansas by using the power of the pardon.
Yes, and not only those that are currently in prison or in jail at the county level now could be released, but if the prosecutors in the state and if law enforcement in the state continues to fight a war that they can't win, man, I'll pardon them as soon as they're convicted.
Wow. That, I think, that's a powerful message, and I think that's a message that's going to resonate with so many people across so many demographics, across so many age levels. People who have realized that the war on drugs is wasteful, and it's costly, and it's hurting people, and it's counterproductive, and it's a medical issue, and not really, you know, it's not a military issue. Now, let's talk about, you know, the other part of the drug war, which is people who voluntarily, who are looking for help, who are looking for medical help. You know, right now in Arkansas, I imagine quite a few people in that position are actually afraid of seeking the medical help that they want and that they need. If you are elected with that pardoning system, that's going to be something that can actually, that they'll now actually be able to do.
Exactly. And we won't have to wait. There's going to be, looks like, an initiative on the ballot this year for medical marijuana provisions. And, of course, it has to be compromised. You know, the forces that beat it 2 years ago are still going to be out there. And so the medical provisions for marijuana is still leaves a lot of folks uncovered. Whether that's passed or not, and I certainly hope it is, we need to go a lot further. And if the only way we can do that is by gubernatorial action, so be it.
Absolutely. Okay, we're talking with Frank Gilbert, candidate for governor of Arkansas. You can learn more about him at electfrankgilbert.com. Be sure to also visit lp.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. Please join the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. You can choose to get involved, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways that you can get active. Help us increase freedom and prosperity by eliminating the income tax and downsizing big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvin Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. We're talking with Frank Gilbert, candidate for governor of Arkansas. You can learn more about him at electfrankgilbert.com. Frank, we've talked about eliminating the income tax, but of course there is the other side of the income tax, which is that there are people who benefit, often quite unfairly and absurdly, from these high income taxes. One of the things that you have talked about is working on eliminating some of the corporate welfare, not regular welfare, but corporate welfare that people are getting in Arkansas. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It has really been an eye-opener for me. I couldn't believe when I found a group called Advance Arkansas Institute, and through their Arkansas project, they've identified corporate welfare in Arkansas, and most of it falls in the form of sales tax forgiveness and that sort of thing. But there's also a lot of just direct cash payments to businesses in Arkansas, and it's to the tune of $500 million a year. That's $500 million a year in corporate welfare. Yeah. That's
corporate
welfare. Go ahead.
I mean, $500 million. I mean, that is, for a state budget, that's a staggering amount.
It is.
I mean,
if we eliminate the income tax, we're gonna cut spending by $2.5 billion, and right off the top, 20% of that, $500 million, is there just waiting to be so easily done away with, because Walmart doesn't need any help with its budget. It's doing a lot better than Arkansas is.
Sure.
And foolish things like Nordex USA and LM Wind Power, which is two of the most recent boondoggles, where the governor took his emergency quick action fund, they call it, and dropped a few million or hundred millions on out-of-country wind power boondoggles. And in both cases, the plants that they built and promised to staff, with hundreds of people, not just jobs but careers, and now they're both gone. One's got about 10 employees left, and the other one shut down and closed the house.
And these are people that were essentially bribed to come over to Arkansas to set up. Yeah, you alluded to Walmart briefly. I didn't actually catch the details on that. Is Walmart also receiving special welfare in Arkansas?
Yes, can you believe it? No, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a whole lot of money, I should say. It is a big deal, even if it's a small amount of money.
Absolutely.
And especially the way they did it, because they hurt the city that they're in by doing it. They wanted to expand part of their facilities in Bentonville, Arkansas, and the city asked them to increase the road's capacity to that facility, 2-lane uncurbed road, and they wanted to just go to 3-lane with a center turning lane and curbs and gutters. And Walmart, rather than just do that, went to Congressman Bozeman, who serves Northwest Arkansas, and ask him if he could help out. So naturally, Congressman Bozeman, who has to seek re-election every 2 years in the Walmart district, went to the legislature and got the transportation bill amended so that they could have a five-lane road. You know, two lanes both ways, center lane, curbed, guttered, lighted, went all out. Got it done for them, and the downside of that is, other than the fact that taxpayers in Alaska and Florida and everywhere else are helping us help Walmart, is that the city of Bentonville, who was trying to get it done at no expense to them, had to chip in 20% of the expense because it's a federal matching program. So they're trying to get Walmart to pick up the tab on a small improvement, and instead they get stuck with 20% of this massive expense of doing a five-lane road. Wow. Talk about out of order priorities.
I mean, that is, and I assume that, of course, you know, entrepreneurs and small businesses in Arkansas aren't getting the same kind of treatment, are they?
Oh, heavens, no. These folks with Nordex and LM, and our good hometown folks in Walmart are receiving treatment that every existing business in Arkansas would cherish, but has no hope of getting unless they buy off a find some legislative influence.
Wow. I mean, and I think right there, when people see that, it's like they realize that, you know, eliminating the income tax and making those type of programs more and more impossible is exactly what we need to be doing. It's not a question of finding a different way to fund these programs. It's finding a way to make these programs unfundable, to defund these programs so that they can't continue to happen. You've also talked in other places about higher education.
Yes. Higher ed in Arkansas is a huge business. You know, the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville has like 60 or 70% of its enrollment is from Texas. And I'm for that. Men bring them up, spend their money up here, you know. But what happens is these universities, this is not just the U of A, it's Arkansas State and half a dozen or more other state higher education institutions, and they're charging tuition to the tune of almost $7 billion a year. And while they're generating that income for themselves, they're also receiving almost another billion from the taxpayers of Arkansas. And folks, I can't see how an $8 billion a year business really needs, you know, $1 billion of that to come from the poorest folks in Arkansas, the middle class folks in Arkansas, or heck, from the Waltons in Arkansas. You know, nobody ought to be subsidizing that. It's a good business, serving a good purpose, doing it as well as any government operation does, I guess. And still, they're getting like 12, 14% of their budget kicked in by the taxpayers.
I mean, that's just real. I mean, in so many ways. I mean, there's of course, the moral issue. It's kind of morally questionable to force people to pay for that. And on the other side, it's also in terms of education. You know, as an educator myself, in terms of education, it's actually hurting the quality of education because you're taking away the incentive to innovate. You're taking away the incentive to find ways to lower the cost, because if you just get rewarded for having a higher and more costly program, you know, why would you ever change anything?
There you go. And it's even worse at the secondary level here in Arkansas. The state constitution in Arkansas gives every student a constitutional right to a free and adequate education. And friend, if you start trying to budget, you know, what the Supreme Court of the state of Arkansas thinks is an adequate education out of a budget, you're in trouble. And all the things that you just talked about, the lack of progress in the type of education, the amount of education, is just stifled by that, because they know they've got a monopoly not only on the students, but on a source of income that is just can't be cut off until every person in Arkansas is dead broke.
I have no doubt that there's both great educational entrepreneurs in Arkansas that are being forced to pay into this system, and educational entrepreneurs all over the country. I mean, there's the fact that people are being forced into this sort of school system means that they're not using some of the free programs like Khan Academy or for higher levels MIT OpenCourseWare. I mean, it's something that's really just stifling the educational market. Before we close the show, are there any other areas in which, just real briefly, we can talk about eliminating that's going to help the people of Arkansas?
One that bothers me a lot, and it shouldn't, but it's $2.5 million for the Alcohol Beverage and Control Board, mm-hmm. and that's for mostly for enforcement of the laws in certain counties. Some counties mm-hmm. are wet, some are dry. Well, mm-hmm. the counties that are dry rely on the state to the tune of $2.5 million to send folks out and bust bootleggers, believe it or not. you've got hundreds of just silly things like that. If the folks in the county believe it ought to be dry, then let them hire another deputy sheriff. Don't let the state do it.
Wow. Okay, we have been talking with Frank Gilbert, candidate for governor of Arkansas. Frank, thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure, Arvin. Thank you for what y'all do.
Okay, thanks for being on. And you can visit Frank's website at electfrankgilbert.com. The Libertarian Party and its candidates are working to reduce the size, scope, authority, taxation, and spending of big government so that you are safer, more free, and less taxed, so that the world is at peace, and so that you and every American enjoys the greatest opportunity and prosperity possible. Be sure to visit lp.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. Please join the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. Help us eliminate the income tax, improve the economy, create jobs, improve education, and make government small. That's lp.org and our Facebook page, facebook.com/libertarians. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Carla Howell again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.